Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Normal human behavior is that when you come to a place, then you want to know two things. What business have I got here? So what's my obligations? What are my duties? And if I accomplish, then what's going to be the remuneration like? What is going to be the reward like? You've taken out the time, you have taken out your precious moments, and you've traveled, you've come from one place to the other place, time, money, wealth, everything. So this will be the two things that will be ringing in your head. One is, what are my duties? What am I supposed to be doing? And number two, if I do accomplish, then what am I going to get out of this whole thing? If you know your duties and you know what you're going to get, so you will have a certain type of a behavior. The person will be working very hard, will be consistent, will be accomplishing, will be taking pride in his work. Because he knows that this is my duty, and he knows this is going to be the reward. So he'll do everything. If he has to stand up till 1 o'clock in the morning, he will do it. He'll make the sacrifice, because he knows for the moments that I'm putting into this, what I'm going to be rewarded like. So no matter how hard, how difficult the work is, he's going to do it. But if he's at a place and he doesn't know his duties, he doesn't know what he's here for, he doesn't know the duty, he doesn't know the obligation, he doesn't know the requirement, then he's going to be going around aimlessly. Came to an institute, so he's going from one classroom to the other classroom, one department to the next department. So he doesn't know what he's there for. He's going to be sitting in one spot one moment, he's going to be sitting in another spot for the next moment. So he's going to be a lost thing. There's going to be a lost thing, there's going to be anxiety in him. There's going to be worry in him. That what am I doing here, what am I supposed to be doing? And that anxiety will bring about depression. It will bring about despondency. It will bring about uneasiness. He'll feel very unfamiliar. He won't feel nice, won't feel comfortable. So the world as it stands today, the level of hypertension, depression was like never before. Anxiety was like never before. Worry and uneasiness was like never before. Because man has lost his place in life. He doesn't know what is his place. What is his work? He doesn't know what it is. So he's running around in circles, going from here, going there, going some, sitting some third place, fourth place. But he doesn't have an end. He doesn't have a direction. When he doesn't have a direction, he must be lost. He must suffer anxiety. He must suffer depression. He must suffer frustration. He must. There's no two ways. He must suffer. Because in this grand plan of Allah Ta'ala's system, the first thing that he was supposed to be doing as he came of age, then what am I here for? What am I here for? Just to eat and drink and enjoy and to multiply. Then the animals are doing the same thing. And they'll be doing it better than what we're doing it. And a cat, you know, multiplies 9 one time. 9, 10 one time it multiplies. Rabbits even more. Every 2-3 months, it's a delivery on. One is just finished and the second one is just starting off. So they will do it better than you can do it. So it was just to enjoy, and just to multiply, just to fly around. Sparrows are doing it all the time. Don't you hear them flying from here to America, America to Europe, flying around all the time, no passports, no visas, nothing, moving. So man has lost his place. So the first thing he needs to understand is, what is my place? My place is illa liya'budun ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun, to serve Allah Ta'ala. That was the whole duty. That was your obligation. That was why you are here, to serve Allah Ta'ala. Right? And if you have found your place, then there will be a direction. You'll feel ease, you'll feel relaxed, you'll feel harmony within you, you'll feel a relaxation, you'll feel everything is falling in place. Because you found your place. And until and unless you didn't find your place, your duty was to find, first look at this, and then look at everything else afterwards. When you come to a working place, right? So, the first thing that you will do is not look for the canteen. Where do I have my canteen? That's not the first thing. In the process, you did your work, then you ask, alright, where's the canteen? Or you'll do everything. Now, we come here, first thing we'll ask, hey, where's the canteen? Petnu Utai. That's the first thing, as we came of age, 12 or 13. So that was the first fikr that was indoctrinated into our minds. Okay, where's the canteen? We must go have some snacks and all that. That was the first thing. It was indoctrinated so well that now, at the age of 40, 45, 50, 60, then too the same thing. Pet ka masla, kaisa hal hoga. This thing here, how will that be sorted out? Everything in its place, but it's a reality of life. You know, pet is a reality of life. As though qabr is not a reality, akhirat is not a reality, the hereafter is not real. What is real is a pet. Peti. So, peti ka kya hoga? Or bahut bada ho jaye to petu. Us petu ka kya hoga? So, that's the fikr that is indoctrinated, it's pushed into us. So, that first fikr was supposed to be that I came onto this planet. Right. I came from somewhere, right? And I'm coming to my senses. Now, I need to know, what am I here for? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi was studying in the Madrasa Baghdad, Madrasa Nizamiya. I mean, when he started off, perhaps he must have been 16, 17 years of age, young. So the madrasas in those times were sponsored by the state. So the head of the state came to inspect the madrasa itself. I want to see how the status of the madrasa, how it's running. So I'm sponsoring it, millions I'm giving every year. So I want to see now what's going on. So he picks out one student. What are you here for? No, my father is the imam in the Jama Masjid. So I want to take his position after he leaves. When he's resigned, then I want to take his position. What's your job? My father is a qazi in a certain court. And when he resigns, then I must fill in his shoes. Now, the head of the state is feeling very depressed. He's not only worried about pet. He's worried about that imam so that he can secure his pet. He's worried about the qazi sahab so he can secure his pet. So, what returns is this going to give to me? I can't see any spiritual return. I didn't do it for this type of a reason. Eyes on the word, it came up to his mind, hey, you know, I want to close this thing up, shut it up. In one end of the madrasa, he sees a young boy, 16, 17 years of age, Imam Ghazali. He wants to address him. And Imam Ghazali is not giving him any attention. He's so engrossed in his kitab that he is not giving him any attention. So the king then told him a little bit bluntly, you know, I'm the king and you're my subject, you need to listen to me. What's your purpose of being here? So when he heard that this is a king and then it's a state order that you have to listen, so he says, you see, I have discovered that I got a creator, right? And the creator has bestowed me with so much of favors, without any application, and without me deserving those favors, he has bestowed me so much, you know, he's given me so much. Yesterday someone was saying, you know, this problem, that problem, and the third problem. So I said, you're eating, yeah. You got food in the house, got a shelter over your head, you got wife and children, but don't cry. Live for the day and continue. Don't worry about that. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Up till now, you didn't go hungry one day. You didn't go without a shelter one day. So what was the need for you to worry about 20 years, what's going to happen? What's the need? Allah Ta'ala took care of you all the years. He didn't see you destitute, he didn't see you without a roof, he didn't see you without food. So he'll take care of you. So the one that took care of you so many years, he will take care for you, okay, take care of you in the future as well. So why do you lose the trust in him? So anyway, Imam Ghazali, as young as he is, he says, I've seen the favors of Allah Ta'ala innumerable, right? Then I thought to myself, that when these are his favors upon me, then I need to know how to serve him. So I came here, when I saw the favors of Allah Ta'ala, and I thought to myself that I need to show some appreciation, there must be some token. But in order to show the token and appreciation, I need to learn how to appreciate. I can't just go and show appreciation like that. Two children are playing at home, for 2 years and 3 years of age. So one child, he bit the other child, you know. Two and a half years of age. So the mother reprimanded the child, bit. So why did you fight? So that child that bit, he says, "Main toh pyar dikha raha tha. I was showing love to the child." So he also tried to show some love, but was that the right way to show the love? We are saying now we are showing appreciation, we are serving Allah Ta'ala, but did we learn how to show the appreciation? The child, alright, you will excuse him because he's at that age, 2.5 years of age, and he's showing, I want to show love, right? So he's showing a child of the same age. But in the process, he will bit him. I bit him quite hard. He is thinking to himself, I've done the right thing. But is that the right thing? So in order to show appreciation, you need to learn how to appreciate. Not just appreciation, learn how to do it. Your intention, there's no flaw in your intention. But there needs to be a harmony between the intention and the behavior. There must be a consistent pattern. Harmony between behavior and intention. Just to say, no, my intention is enough, that you're not right in that. It's not correct, it's not sufficient. So there must be a consistent pattern between the both. So when the king heard this, he says, just because of this one individual, I may keep his entire institute running. So the importance of serving Allah Ta'ala is such, okay, even if it is just one individual that is serving Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to keep this entire universe running. See how much billions and trillions it costs every day to run the universe, isn't it? The sun is giving out its splendor, rain is coming out, right? In some part of the world or the other, oxygen Allah Ta'ala is providing. You accumulate all that favors of Allah Ta'ala for a single day, trillions and trillions and gazillions Allah Ta'ala is spending just to sustain the earth. Right? And is prepared to sustain the earth with gazillions just for one person's service. So the service is so much appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have to equate it in rands or dollars or pounds, then it's created, you know, it's valued so much. So much is your service. How much he appreciates. So the first thing we need to work out is what is our duty, what is our work. Right. And then the second thing that you need to work out is, for this work, how will I be remunerated? Right. You came here, right? You're working now. Perhaps you're vacuuming the place, right? Perhaps you are washing, right? Washing the bathroom, toilet, whatever. Perhaps you're doing the cooking. Perhaps you're teaching. Right? Whatever position you have taken, so you want to know what is going to be the remuneration like, what is going to be the reward. I'm doing some work and I need to be respected for the work that I'm doing. I need to be appreciated for the work I'm doing. So now, unless and until you don't know the reward, there won't be any motivation, there won't be any drive. The day you want to do it, you'll do it. It's a voluntary piece of work I'm doing. Nobody can push me around. But the moment you know that there's going to be a remuneration, now you'll do it. You'll force yourself and you'll be there. Somehow or the other, you'll get it accomplished. So, the same will apply to deen. If you know what Allah Pak has got in store for you, then you're going to work yourself. You're going to break your back, you're going to work. Because this life is very short. This is the working period. And the remuneration is unlimited. It's unlimited remuneration, so much and so much and so much Allah Pak is going to give. So then, I need to ensure that I'm going to get that remuneration. See, the remuneration of the hereafter compared to the remuneration of this world is the remuneration that you get, the reward that you get here, right? Number one, sometimes it is not certain, not guaranteed. You're working for a person, he says, well, I'm bankrupt, I can't pay you. Or he says to his creditors, I can't pay you. Right? So the creditors also, they sweated for that wealth, they provided, but now he can't pay them, doesn't have it. Right? So sometimes the reward is uncertain. Sometimes the boss doesn't keep to his word. Right? At the beginning when he needed you, then he makes the promise, hey, you know, just get this thing right, just get it right. We'll see, he'll give you a percentage of the whole thing. Right? Now, when you worked, and you brought some nice systems, you saved the company a couple of good millions. Now they don't want to even talk about the remuneration. They don't talk anything about it. But you know, they know it behind their minds, the back of their minds, they know it, that how much you have saved the company. But now you brought the company to this end here, to this point here, they don't want to talk about it. They thought, so no, it's just a coincidence, it's just a group work. No, we'll give you a letter of compliments. We'll bluff you, we'll give you a letter of recognition. Now, not only the small companies, big companies, so-called corporates and conglomerates, big, you know, international companies, this is their behavior. They will tell you, so it's just a wording, don't worry, hey, we'll sort you out, don't worry. But when you sort them out, then this is how they return the reward. They forget you, they don't keep up to their promises. So the reward in this world is not always confirmed. And even if it is confirmed that they're going to give you so much, right, you don't have the guarantee that you're going to live to see it and enjoy it. You got that, you got the package at 55 or 65, you got the package, retirement package. But will you live to enjoy it? And even if you live to enjoy it, you got some health problems, pressure problem, heart problem, right? And if all that is right, then you got problem in your children, grandchildren, you got problems there, right? So there isn't a comfort, there isn't a reward in this world that doesn't come with a problem. Money, but some problem. Child, or grandchild, or daughter-in-law, son-in-law, some problem or the other you've got. Or health problems. So one person has got absolutely no problem. Children all 100%, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, grandchildren, everything is 100%, show me one case. So there is nothing that is guaranteed in this world. And then, when you compare this against the hereafter, so Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. What I am going to remunerate and reward you, that is absolutely guaranteed. The enjoyment is guaranteed. I don't turn back from my words. If I can spend gazillions for sustaining the world every day I can sustain, so what's there to give you? A couple of thousands, a couple of million, what's there? Gazillions I'm spending every day internationally. You know, they say one lightning that strikes, the electricity that goes out of it, right, is enough to sustain sometime an entire country. Just one lightning. So no matter what power level is giving, just either one strike, what a power, what it costs. You can't attach a price to it. One lightning striking, so much Allah has given. So can you see how much he's got in his reserves? How much he's got? إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا إِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. We've got unlimited treasures. Though we will send down in limited proportions, we'll send down. We won't give it unlimited. But that also, not giving it unlimited, it's a blessing. Imagine 20 years of water supply, Allah will give you 5 minutes. What happened? You have the capacity to store that water. You have the capacity. So Allah gives it whenever you need it. Season, he gives it out of season, you don't get it, you get it in season again. Facilitating all the preservation, dam, the reservoir, the lake, the rivers, all are facilitating. So he gives it in this manner. Otherwise, he's got treasure, he can give it to you, straight away he can give it to you. Nothing stops him. But him giving it to you, like giving it to you in installments, that is also his blessing. So the Jannah that Allah Pak speaks about, Allah Pak says, fi maqamin amin, is absolutely guaranteed, certain. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely true. It's absolutely certain it's going to happen. It's guaranteed. So guaranteed at how many levels? The stuff that is guaranteed, he's promising, he will give it to you. So, من عمل صالحا فلنفسه. You
Whatever good you have done, you're going to get rewarded for it. You're going to get rewarded for it. And not just the reward. جَزَاءُ الدِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. The reward is going to be multiplied, many folds. Person giving out charity, right? And small amount is giving, right? Allah Ta'ala's focus is the heart. How good is the heart? Man is giving, he can't afford much. From the 100 rand he's giving 10 rands. But he's giving with that spirit, with that heart, with that soul, with that love, he's giving it. For the love of Allah Ta'ala. Then that small 10 rands of his is multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. Like a mountain is multiplied. Imagine just you give 10 rands, right? How insignificant. But then Allah Pak is watching the heart. Man, he thinks to himself, you know, Majid is coming up and I need to do some contribution. If I give 10 rands, not even one brick, not even doing a brick, maybe half a brick, right? But that's all I can do. He's feeling so miserable within himself that my 10 rand now, you know, front of this person here, this chacha here is giving 1 million rand. My 10 rand. Will he say hello also? Is there any comparison? So within himself he's feeling so low and broken down. But then he trusts in Allah Ta'ala that Allah Pak will accept. Now my contribution is very, very insignificant. I can't do more than this. But let me do what I can do. Whatever I can manage. Allah Ta'ala is growing it. He's multiplying it. He's multiplying it like a mountain. So the heart is the focus. So you are nothing. Family means nothing. Your appearance means nothing. Social standing means nothing. Then what is the thing that Allah Pak sees? Is the heart and the action. The heart and the behavior. These are the two places that Allah Pak watches you. People are talking about this Ansar Sukh and all that, right? As in, on the lips of every second, third person, everybody talks about it. So Allah Pak says it in advance. لَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِي لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah Ta'ala only opens the gates of Rosi, opens out everything, then there will be corruption in the world. As long as everything is in constraint, then you are going in order, going straight. But the moment Allah Ta'ala opens it out, then you can't control yourself. Then there's corruption. When you were in constraint, right? Comes the holiday period, Vepar, New York business, all those, if you've got a farm shop, it's a better load up, because all these people from the city, they'll come to Guduga, to the farm, right? They'll come to spend the few days in the farm. And we need to stock up very well to see the clientele, right? So you're not worried about the celebration, that thing is not striking you at all, to the least. You're so caught up in the business. Why are you in constraint? So you save yourself from the haram, the wrong, the shows, the festivity, everything that was going around, you save yourself. When you were in constraints. Right? But then when Allah Ta'ala opened the gates, He opened it out, right? Then you thought to yourself, everybody else can celebrate, why can't I celebrate? You know, that human child, whether it's a small baby, 2, 3, 4 years of age, or an aged person, they work the same. Because if, for example, the father is taking 4 children, he left 1 child, right, he's going for a drive order, so the child will say the same thing, you can take everybody, why can't you take me? So the adult also thinks exactly the same way, that everybody else can go and celebrate, why can't I celebrate? See, the brain goes the same. The understanding, the reasoning goes the same. Just perhaps you will present yourself differently, or it's not in keeping of conformity with the laws of justice, requirement of justice. But the same thing, you will say the same thing. Nothing different. The right way is, look for the pleasure of Allah, wherever you are in, constraints or prosperity, see how will Allah be happy? What will make Allah pleased? If you make Him pleased, in the confines that you are living, you will be so pleased, you don't want to go out. You will feel so pleased. But then trust Him, and then do what He says. You trust Him, and you do as He says, then He will give you the pleasure wherever you are. And He will give you much more than He is giving to others. Others is just an illusion, it's just an imagination, excitement, dancing, jumping, right? Music, freedom, take your clothes out, right? So that's the imagination, it's just an illusion, right? It's just an imagination, nothing more than an imagination. Other than what? You ask anybody that went to any of this type of shows, the next day how he feels. He feels so miserable, so run down, I don't know what to do. Now to come out of this whole mess, it takes him time. He's broken down so much, he's broken down all his spirituality. To come up again becomes so difficult. Now he thinks, you know, I just went for that one day show, and this is the disaster that he brought to me. You went to that, and you dropped your defenses. You dropped your guards. When you dropped your guards, the shaitans came to attack you. When they came and attacked you, they attacked you so badly, now that recuperation process takes so long. You know, according to the accident, will be the recuperation. The accident is small, then you can patch it up very easily. But if it's a major accident, imagine now you're in a major accident, car is right off, you are approximately right off, right? How long it takes you to recuperate? Bone is cracked, bone is broken, spinal problems, you got fractures there, right? You're a semi-coma, you're coming up. Sometimes I've seen situation, it takes about 3 years to come back. So that is just a physical accident. And if it's a spiritual thing, how much more will it take you to recuperate? You say, no, once off. So what's the whole big deal about it? After all, it's got an Islamic name. And all these things, all these funny things, took place in the past also. Some people, they disguise like Sufis, right? Now, it's just a disguise, right? So, they want them not to be known as thieves and fraudulents and all that. So, they're drinking wine, but they gave it a different name. Sharabu Salihin. The drink of the pious. So, does it make it permissible? The drink that they are drinking, does it make it pious? Sharabu Salihin. Now, what a beautiful name, huh? Sharabu Salihin. Hey, now, the person is drinking, he thinks, really, I'm going to drink this thing here. I'll get at a different level of spirituality. That's how he's thinking. Just change the name. And unfortunately, you know, this is what has happened some years, 20, 30 years now. And so he's just escalating, just using the name of Islam for their own convenience. But did we ever understand what disaster it will bring to you? Here on the day of Qiyamah, Abu Umama Al-Bahili, he says, he quotes a hadith here, how it will happen on the day of Qiyamah. So he says, there will be different trials that you will go through. It won't be just one single trial. People say, you know, one trial in the grave, one in the hereafter, why? Yeah, so I tell them, when there's an examination, this is just one paper. Yeah? So you're writing Afrikaans today, tomorrow English, next week Maths. Sometimes the examination pulls for 2 months, isn't it? Yeah? So, similar, the trials will be different. Sometimes you are the scales, then the books are being distributed, right? Sometimes you are the Hosa Kosar, so all different trials. So, it's not just one single trial, you're over. But, the indication that you're alright starts from the death. See, at death, it starts off, you make out more, mashallah, inshallah, alhamdulillah, I'm alright. You make out you are right. From there, everything will go positive. Everything. If that grave, if that death goes well, then every station that comes after it goes well. So, one is the brief examination, and one is the detailed examination. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. That's a detailed examination. Qabr is a brief. مَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ. That's a brief. And the detail on the day of Qiyamah. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. Every small and big deed, everything is being accounted. Everything. One accountant was asking me, you know, all these type of questions the accountants asked. So you see, Mula, you know, we say that no hisab, and then sometimes you say hisab, and sometimes you say easy hisab. No, Mula, just explain that to me. I was sitting on tafsir class, but now I heard about easy hisab. Reckoning is a reckoning, so what do you mean easy and difficult and all that? So explain to him, Aisha radiallahu anha asked me a similar question, what is hisab? Allah Pak says about an easy hisab, everybody has to go through it. So what is it? So I tell him, just imagine now you are at the counter in the customs or the immigration, you are there at the counter, right? So the official that is looking at you, he saw your stuff, he said, hey, move now, go. You go, just move, congratulations to you, thank you, and move. So, Dalikumul Arz, that is just an appearance. That Hisab there, we said it's a Hisab, but what it was just an appearance. You just made your appearance, and the official said, you move, carry on, you go on. Congratulations, well done, Tipta or Tipta Mamsha. You done very well, congratulations, and you move now. Because you holding this whole process up here. Your light and all that is disturbing all these Jahannamis here. This thing is, you move now, you Jannati, move now, go on. Tibta wa taba min mamshak. So, a congratulations start right from the death. And then it continues. Then that's the second point. That hereafter is the second point. You know, how in this world you have a custody, right? One is in the custody, and then it's a trial, then it's jail or you're freed. One of the two. So, the different process that you go through. So, dhalikumul arz. For the Muslim, for the believer that was righteous, it's just an appearance. You just came there, as a formality, you just made an appearance and then you're shooting straight, one shot. Allah will make it possible. And if Allah wants you to shoot, He'll make you shoot so fast that the whole bridge, in a split second, lightning will move. One shot, across. Who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Your eyes can move, like your eyes, it can cover the distance of the sky, isn't it? And the nearest star is taking a couple of light years to come. For the light of the nearest star take a couple of light years to come here. But your eyes is so powerful that in a second it can reach so high. Right? So for Allah Ta'ala to allow you to cross over the bridge that will lead to you to Jannah, can't He make it happen? It's kun fayakun. Allah Ta'ala just happened, then it happened. So He wants you to cross, He can cause you to cross. But then you don't cross the swords with Him. That's the whole secret. You don't cross the swords. You want to play around here, Ansar, Suk, and all that. And then you want all this also. E. Khyalast wa mahalast wa junoon is just an illusion, it's just an imagination, guesswork. You remain committed to me. You be honest to me, then I will share it, I'll give you. You be fair to me, you be loyal to me. Then I'll see what I will do to you. A small little woman that stayed with you for 40, 50 years, right? 40 years she gave you her service, you showed her your love, right? But after 40 years, the moment you flirted with someone else, what she says, that you carry on the next one now, I'll stay alone, I don't need you. That one day, one occurrence of disloyalty is enough for her to cut away from you. So, how unloyal are we to Allah Ta'ala? And then still we want best this side or best that side. You know, flirt around, play around, go on to this nonsense. And then too, you want Allah Ta'ala to look at you favorably. Hey, Allah Ta'ala is showering His mercy upon us, in spite of us doing, of us acting like fools. That in itself is such a great compassion and love. But then we're supposed to be crying, Allah Ta'ala, what am I doing here? And you know, does it blend into your loyalty and faithfulness? Does it blend in? So it's Abu Umawa al-Bahili radiallahu anhu, he says, so there'll be different trials, right? Different trials. At the one trial, people's faces will be brightened or blackened, according to the deeds. Brightened, absolutely brightened, and absolutely blackened. You'll see it physically, you'll see it. Faces will be blackened, faces will be brightened. Now once that trial is over, now you're coming to a second trial. At the trial that comes after it, that trial is now, you've been covered with total darkness, absolute darkness. Right? And when you are covered with total darkness, the darkness is so severe, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Imagine you are in the depth of an ocean, in the middle of night, and with waves one over the other. Can imagine just imagine the scene, waves one above the other, the middle of the night,
right in the depth of the ocean. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَهَا. You can't see your own hand. Can you see anything? Absolutely. Can't see anything. Nothing you can see. So that level of darkness you're covered with. Right? Now when you are covered with that level of darkness, then at that point Allah Pak is distributing light. Your light is as great as a mountain. The light that you be enjoying is going to be as great as a universe. You know, the whole universe, so great. And the light that you are being blessed with is great as the light from your feet right till the heaven. So according to the person's status is the light. So now, then you will be divided into three groups, three categories. One is totally lighted, one is in total darkness. So the kafir is in total darkness, the believer is in total light. Can you imagine? He is total lighted, he is total darkened, absolute darkness. Kafir now, la yus'alu an dhanbihi insun wala jan. So on that day, you are a full mujrimuna bisimaum. After Allah Pak has made it, in principle He made it, He's a Jahannami, then you don't need to interrogate Him now. You are a full mujrimun. You recognize Him by His marks. The darkness, the marks on His face will make it visible that this is a goner, He's gone, khalas. So there's no need to put Him to a trial again. He's doomed, he's already decreed, his sentence already finished, lifelong he's sentenced. So you don't need to interrogate him any longer. Right. So that is the kafir, he's gone forever. The mu'min, Allah has blessed him with that light. Right. Now there's going to be a third level that is called the munafiq. Right. Now one was the munafiq in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The munafiq in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's day was different. Because it was clearly spelled out that this is Ubay ibn Salul, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. It's a kafir, finished, khalas. So he's like the normal kafir, that's ruled out. But then was the munafiq after the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because the munafiq that came after the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no way that we could identify him. Because outwardly he was acting as a believer. Woman going out with an abaya, man going out with a kurta. So outwardly he looks like a Muslim. So we have got no right, no business to call him a kafir. Have you got any right to say that he's a kafir? We can't say. But now what he's concealing within his heart and mind, that's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't ask us to go and pry into his private life. Didn't ask us. Yes, he seems to be a Muslim, so we will treat him as a Muslim. Right. Now this is a dangerous moment, you see. This is a munafiq. So the munafiq also is given some type of a light at the beginning. He's given some type of a light at the beginning. But then, when he's just about to approach the pool sirat, the bridge that is leading you to Jannah, you can imagine that you use a journey in the hereafter, you have to cross over a bridge to send you to Jannah. Just about nearing the bridge, that light that he was given, that light is taken away. See, the punishment normally is in conformity with the action. The person that was fasting, so when he is getting into Jannah, he is habitual faster, like maybe once a week, twice a week. So he is habitual in fasting. So he will be called by the Babu Rayyan. Now Rayyan, Ray, is to do with quenching, thirst, etc. So the reward will be in conformity with your action. A type of action, and then will be the reward will be conforming. Like the hadith says, khalufu fami saim, right? The smell that comes out from the fasting person's mouth is dearer to Allah Ta'ala than the fragrance of musk. So a reward conformity in conformity with action. Because the fasting person, when he's hungry, there's going to be some smell, right? So now Allah Ta'ala replaces him with a better smell. That smell, now your smell is better than musk. Conformity. So now you got this munafiq, right? And the time that he needed the light the most, time that he's crossing, at that time the total darkness, absolute darkness. So then he would tell his
other Muslims, you know. Naqtabis min nurikum. Just give us some light. What they'll say? The Munafiqeen will ask, Naqtabis min nurikum. Borrow some of your light. You got so much light. You got a whole mountain full of light you've got. You know, a little bit light. One torch is enough for us. You can at least cross over. So the believer will tell him, Qila raji'u wara'akum faltamisun wara. See, there was a point where the light was being distributed. You go there, and you'll get your light. If you are deserving, you'll get the light. This was the distribution point. Go back to the distribution point, and you'll get your light. Now when he goes back, فَدُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورِ اللَّهُ بَابُ. Now, the Jannat is already gone. They moved on. They went back. When they went to the rear, Allah Ta'ala erected a wall between the Jannati and the Munafiq. Jannati is on this side. On this side is the Munafiq. Right. Now the Munafiq is calling out, Alam nakum maakum. Weren't we with you? We were with you all the time. We were around with you. Qalu bala, yes, outwardly you seem to be with us. Walakin nakum fatantum anfusakum. But you put yourself into problems. You know how you behaved. You were wavering all the time. Balancing this side, that side, balancing this side, that side. So you were put yourself into problems. You put yourself into difficulties. Now, I read this whole tafsir. Then I was wondering in my mind now, which will be the class of people that will be rated as the munafiq as per the hereafter? One is this world. Then in the hereafter, who will be that person, who will be that class, who will be rated as the munafiq? See, Muhammad Shafi Sabrahman says it, in this tafsir, under the same verse. He says, it will be that class of people who outwardly showed themselves as Muslim, but within they redefined things, right? They went and defined and redefined. Just to make things seem permissible, they went and redefined things. Right? Now how they went and redefined things? They went and redefined things like this. Right? Now you're listening to music, right? You can see how it's Muslim music and everything is thumping like a normal music band, right? But you call it an Islamic squad. Such a beautiful, wonderful name. Islamic squad is here. See, you gave it an Islamic name. You created an impression that you are Islam. And under the guise of Islam, you're doing every haram thing. You're just given an Islamic name. You know, I said, Sharabu Salihin, drinking wine, but the wine of the righteous. As though this thing here will just create the love of Allah Ta'ala in you. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So that music now, this Muslim Islamic squad. So now you feel thrilled. Islamic squad, see the name, so beautiful name. So what's behind the name? Let's go and see what it is. This thing being playing in my mind. And I wonder why ulama are not speaking about it. Muawiyah radiallahu comes to Medina Munawwara and he's reprimanding, Aina ulama'ukum, where's your ulama? Can't you see people practicing the joining up of hairs? He had a bunch of hair like this. Can't you see they practicing this, women are practicing this thing here? Can't you go and stop them? So people are making this whole Dajjal story like a phenomena, not a person. And the hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif is saying that the Dajjal a'azamu insanan, right? In the story of the Jassasa, the actual wording of the hadith was fa'idha huwa a'azamu insani, a great man, right? So that means that the Dajjal is a man, is not a phenomenon. If someone is saying that, then he's going against the hadith. And if he's saying against the hadith, then he must be a write-off. Because the hadith is saying something, and he's saying something else. But if the person that is seeing that person is a write-off, you can see now, he's speaking against the hadith, and yet you go and listen to him, then you are write-off as well. Man is going off, right? You can see he's going off the road. And you join up with him, so you'll fall in the ditch that he falls in. Why did you follow him? You can see he's going off. Why? Just for the thrill. Just for the excitement. Why do you want to listen to him? Why do you want to go and hear to him? Now, when I started this talk here today, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala only opens the gates of wealth, then there will be corruption. The whole world will be filled with corruption. So when there's an abundance of affluence, right, abundance of affluence, then you have excitement. That wealth wants expression. Before you didn't have it, so you're working hard. The farm shop, wherever, you worked hard. So that really was a blessing in disguise. At that time you may have felt, hey, you know, everybody's celebrating and you're working hard. But really it was a blessing. You caught yourself occupied and you kept yourself away from the haram. But then when Allah Ta'ala opened it up, you said, no, Allah, my son must become a doctor. My daughter must become an engineer. So Allah gave you, right now, you want it. You want very lofty intentions, give it. I'll give it to you. But then when I gave it to you, do you know how to discipline, how to behave? Do you know how to behave? When you didn't have it, you behaved very well. But now that you have it, can you behave? When you didn't have the wealth, right? You behave well, you jump into the bus humbly, stop at the bus station, move on to your work. But now you got that wealth now at a posh. And then posh, then you want to show off. See? You will impress. So now your whole behavior pattern changes. So Allah is saying, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to open it up and you will see how you will behave yourself. You will go completely off. Same happens in wealth. See, wealth, the first generation that it comes about, they work very hard. The people came from India, work very, very hard. Scheming, working, weekends, weekdays, work very hard. Right? Keeping the families, those families that are still in India, they call that, right? So they build themselves up. Second generation saw the first generation, so there will be some discipline, because we saw the first generation, how hard they worked, right? How hard they worked, they put themselves to work, and they got things working and all that. So the second generation will have some respect. Comes the third generation, they only saw maja. The first generation worked hard, the second one saw the first, so they controlled themselves, they behaved. But the third one came in, now they only saw joy, saw the excitement, thrill, drama. Go for a holiday, right? Into the bergs, no, it's not enough of the bergs now. Now Table Mountain. On the Table Mountain, something higher. That drama has to go higher, it has to escalate. To go on going up. Disney World, go here. See that drama. The drama wants more and more excitement. It doesn't want to stay in station. And I say we've got a child mentality. Excitement, drama, thrill. It's a child's mentality. When I was small, about 10, 11, 12 years of age, so you work in the family shop, you know. So that time you're thinking, oh, the general salary at that time, 70, 80 rand, right? It was a good salary. So now, the black man, that time, we should think, hey, he worked so hard the whole year, come the end of the year, all that he accumulated, maybe 200 rand or 300 rand, he accumulated, in 1-2 days, in the day of the celebration, everything is bust. Come the new year, he starts off again. But I ask you today, are we exactly the same or not? In fact, perhaps worse. We have a credit card, and put ourselves into more problems. He was still alright, he only bust up whatever he had. We bust up what we had, what we didn't have also, you know, bust up. So our next year comes again, start the same thing. Old process again. Old process. So this drama wants more and more expression. Wants more expression. You saw something, some more hiking, biking, roasting, brying, all the drama it wants. One thing to the other, right? Then at the end you get a thing like the Ansar, right? And you get people jumping, girls coming out of their clothing, jumping up, getting halal and hal, jumping up, right? And we are talking about how it happened. But it's not a surprise. It's all a built up. You are building yourself up to that point, and you just showed up. That was the culmination. It was a long period of built up, with the radio, whoever. You are building yourself, and they are supporting you. You can't throw the blame onto them, and they can't throw the blame onto you. Both are guilty. Whether it's the viewer, the person that participated, whether it was the presenter, both are guilty. Equal in the haram. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ. You laugh that, so you'll be with them. Now, compare this against Dajjal, right? Because now, when the wealth came up, so you wanted drama, you wanted excitement, you wanted entertainment. So Dajjal's entertainment will be at a different level. It's just, yeah, it's just a play, right? And here it'll be real. It was just a play. And here it will become actual, become real. The Dajjal is passing by, and he's commanding the clouds, right, rain. And Allah Pak is allowing it to rain. Now, at that time, can you resist? It's drought stricken, right? You're struck with drought. And there, Allah Pak is commanding, Dajjal is commanding, like cloud, you rain. And then it's just rain. Wealth of the world is flying behind him like the bees. You know, the bees are flying, flocking. Wealth is flying behind him like that. Right? He's coming across a Qabristan and he's instructing the dead, right? Get out of your graves, come alive. And they're coming out of the graves. It's your grandfather, great-grandfather that came from India. He came up. Now imagine, you can imagine the level of the drama, the entertainment, the excitement. Now the hadith goes on to say thereafter, that if you hear of Dajjal, فَيَنْأَنْهُ you keep a distance. If he's in Cape Town, you go to Durban. Keep 2-3,000 miles away from him. Go away from him. Now there will be one class of people, according to the hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif, what he will say, I am a mu'min. I am educated, I am learned, I know. What he will say, I am a mu'min, I am educated, I know. Like today, all these people that enter, all these people, no, I know. You don't have to teach me. I studied Bukhari Sharif, I studied all these things, I studied. So don't teach me all things. So everybody is a master. So the hadith is saying exactly the same. Yara annahu mu'minun. He thinks that he's a believer. He's educated, he knows. And he went to this type of souk and this type of places. He went. Right. When he saw that, you know, that splendor and the show and the jar, he saw, he got wiped off his feet. Became like a tsunami. I asked you, in a tsunami, can you see now? I'm so strong that I can hold myself in a tsunami. That thing would take everybody. Anybody, all and sundry, it would take. It wash you out. So that is why I say we're getting addicted to this, and this is a build up to Dajjal, right? So I say Dajjal is not a phenomena, it is a reality, it's a person. And it's a duty of ulama to speak about it. And I feel very, very convinced about it, is that you're not going to speak about it, it's not a phenomena. In the clear words of the hadith, it's talking about a person. Just because of consideration of someone else, then you are guilty. You're not being fair to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're not being fair to the Sahaba Ikram. Not being fair to all the muhaddithin that reported the hadith to us. They, with their sweat and their blood, they brought the hadith to us. And now because of one single individual, and must leave the clear words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram, Aslaf, Tabi'in, muhaddithin, leave it out. We speak about it. That you educate the people what this thing is leading up. See, this is leading up. And there, this is the culmination. And you just make it like a phenomena. So, the importance of this Dajjal thing just cracks out. It's just a phenomena. We just have to hold on. It's a reality. It's a person. And the hadith is saying it's a person. So the person will consider himself to be a believer until he is face to face with Dajjal. And then he can't resist. His guards will all break down. And he will get swept. Straight away he will get swept away. See how serious that time is. How important it is. So around that time when the whole world is filled with fitna, what are you supposed to be doing? See, the hadith will show you a problem, it will show you the solution as well. So that's the Nabi. He's complete, he's comprehensive, he's perfect. Most perfect human in his entire life, he's the most perfect creation of Allah Ta'ala. So he will not only show you a problem, but he will show you the solution as well. So the hadith is showing 3-4 solutions. One, kunu ahlasa buyutikum. Become like the carpet of your home. You know the carpet? See, you have two types of carpet. One is what you put above the carpet, like this one here. You got a carpet above the carpet. So this you can replace, right? But the carpet that is on the ground, that remains for a long period. You don't very seldom change it. You change it like this one here now. It's here for almost 18 years now, right? This carpet that we got here, it's all. So we hardly change this. But the Imam Husayla will change it all the time. So what the hadith is showing, well, just remain in your place. Don't move. Just remain stuck. Like how the carpet remains stuck, just remain in your place. Don't move around. Because that fitna that is coming now is like tsunami. Even Isa alayhi salam, when that Yajud Majud thing is going to happen, it will be told to him, now you can't resist this thing. You take some refuge.
with all the dynamism in him, he is also told that you won't be able to face this, you move away. Now the Nabi is being told, you can't face it, you move away. So we are being instructed, now you move away, don't get into this entertainment, into this drama, excitement, all that. You will be the next client. You will go, you know, escalate, you will show yourself outwardly as a Muslim. And then the rot will come in. The rot will come in. So nobody is seeing the rot. It's like a chair, right? And the termites will eat it, right? Eat in. So outside how it looks, like a perfect normal chair. And then the thing, the day it collapses, it will become like a vanilla masjid. So everything is eating, within it's eating. And then one day that the whole thing collapses. It's eating so discreet, nobody can figure it out. But he's doing his job from within. So one day the whole thing collapses. So that iman in you just collapses like that. So that's just the face of iman is in you. And that essence of iman has been eaten up by the termites. When it's been eaten, it's just a matter of the thing collapsing. So one is this, the hadith is saying, Kunu ahlasa buyutikum. Just remain in your home. Because you're not going to be facing it. Not be able to face it. Nabi Sam is telling you, he's the most perfect creation of Allah Ta'ala. You can't go wrong. So you remain. You look after your own home. Just look after your own home. People that come under your influence, look after them. Right. You don't run around everywhere. Souk, hall, mall, etc. You won't be able to resist. Because the moment you go there, right, you want to be like them, then you'll become like them. Then you will have the same attitude just to justify, just to legitimize, make things permissible, not so bad. It's a music, it's an Islamic score now. They also got love for Allah Ta'ala. You need to show them some respect. Eventually, you get driven away. See, your whole thinking goes off. Some students from the university came in. A lot of people are coming. So they're telling, they're complaining, you know, Mona, we've been to this Islamic school and that Islamic school. There's nothing Islamic but the name Islam. Besides the name Islam, there's nothing Islamic there. Everything is about kufr and disbelief. Everything is about immodesty and immorality. Now, the children that are going to the school, they are responsible for the sin. Their parents are responsible. And the organizer of the school. All are responsible. The children can't say, it's not our guna. They are adults, they can think for themselves. Parents are cooperating, they are getting their share of the guna. People are organizing, and in the admin, they are also getting sin. All responsible. You're just changing the names, you're not going to change the reality. Going to a bank, same thing again. You call it an Islamic thing, right? And you look at the operation, it's perfect, like a conventional bank. So you can't get yourself, you say, no, we had it in Islamic. So it's just like the chair, I say. It's been eaten by the termites. Outwardly, you got an Islamic name, Islamic ethos. That doesn't make it Islamic. If that rot is going to come, the thing is going to collapse, the whole thing is going to collapse. Everybody is going to collapse. So, there'll be some solution to this whole situation that we are seeing now. Is just remain. Just remain. Be content with the little that you got. Is much more better and safer than the abundant that you'll have. Person looks outwardly very healthy, plump and healthy. Outwardly he looks, right? But the doctor says, why? He's got a lot of complications. He's got a health complication, heart complication. Outwardly say, how? Doctor, he looks so healthy, so big and plump and fat. But what the doctor says, he's on a time bomb. Anytime he'll explode anytime. So the same is happening spiritually. Outwardly he looks so healthy, but spiritually he's sitting on a time bomb. He's always going to explode. So this is the first hadith. The second hadith says, "Wal yasaka baytuk." Then instead of you going out everywhere, stay in your home. Let your house be sufficient for you. You got your wife, you got your children, you got your dependents. Whoever else you got, that is the solution that Nabi Sam is teaching us, but you remain within your home. You don't venture out of your home. You don't take a chance. You don't go and experiment. You go and experiment, you will become just now an addict. You experimented with the stuff first, then when you became an addict, now to recluse yourself, remove yourself, is it easy, I say? It becomes very difficult. You went to experiment the cigarette, then you became a chain smoker. Now can you move yourself out of it? It becomes so difficult, so difficult.
But initially you went just to experiment, hey, want to puff now, it won't make me a smoker, and then you got hooked onto the stuff. Now you can't do without it. See? So that's the second thing that the hadith is saying. The third thing that the hadith is saying, man istashrafa laha tastashrifu lahu. That is in Abu Dawud and Bukhari Sharif. Man istashrafa laha tastashrifu lahu. If you were to just look towards that fitna, right, that fitna is going to attract you. You're going to look at it in the WhatsApp, whatever, you look at it, and that thing is going to attract you, it's going to sweep you as well. So when I look at that wording of the hadith, man istashrafa laha tastashrifu, look at the literal meaning. You look into it, istashrafa is like peeping into something, you know. You're looking into something. Peeping, jankna, upar se kisi cheez ko dekhna, right? You're looking at something, right? That's the literal meaning. But what the hadith is saying, if you go to look into it, that thing is going to draw you. Now, I ask you, how many people have got phones and they're not sucked into this whole culture? What percent can you show me? What WhatsApp and all these appliances they've got, right? What percentage of people who've got all these things here are not sucked into it? Can you say that 1% is not sucked? Whoever, how pious he may be, what tahajjud is reading, but that one glimpse, hey, that girl came in and naked, hey, sometimes or the other, he doesn't press in, just check again, just to have the soothing feeling. Kitne din se mera dekha hi nahi. I didn't see you for so many days. Once in a while, Allah will understand, you know. You're humans, we have to make some accidents. But you didn't say that to your motor car, your Porsche that you got, that, you know, Allah knows we are humans, let me go and bash the thing up. Risk myself. Did you ever risk your life, or risk your car? No. That car, no, that I can't. So, you know, that means your iman is cheaper than the car. That's what you are saying. What is more expensive, what is more valuable, is the car. The iman is not a valuable thing. It'll get broken down, you can fix it up again. Car, you know, I have to cough out $500,000 for the dent and all that, plus my physical self. So the same I'm asking you, if you want to dent yourself physically, it takes you so long to recuperate. If you want to dent yourself spiritually, how long it will take you to recuperate? So when the thing is so heavy, right, and you want to guard yourself, you know, take care of yourself, then you can imagine now the level of iman Allah will bless you. Allah is seeing, hey, there's so many things that were attracting him, they're pushing him, they're luring him, everything was luring him. But he remained firm to me, he remained very faithful to me. You know, so many people were after the person, but he never break the loyalty. He never move away. Imagine the wife that chose you, right? When 100 people were queuing up for her, right? And she said, no, this is my man, and I'll live for him, I'll die for him. What happens to you then? What happens to you? So no, if she did so much for me, then till the last, I must never break the loyalty with her. No matter whatever happens after that, I can't break the loyalty, because there were so many people that were eyeing her. And then she just remained firm to our love. She never moved away. And like she was truthful, that I need to be truthful. So this loyalty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can never be broken down. Everything, something else, we made a mistake here, we didn't make our zikr for the day or something. But the loyalty with Allah, I will stand with you. I will live with you, I will die with you. Now when the speed finishes, right, and you remain loyal, then Allah will give you the sweetness of iman. See that sweetness, that enjoyment of iman. Now it's going, it's escalating. Otherwise, after the period I gave you, broken down, naya naam se phir shuru karo. Come up again, reel up again. Broken down, totally broken down, I come up. So the right thing is that we and our children, our household, what plan we can have in place to look after ourselves, after our children, our dependents. Don't even hear about this thing. In baaton ko suno hi nahi. Forget looking at it in the WhatsApp. Don't even hear about it. Don't even talk about it. Unfortunately, I have to listen to it, but I'm advising, don't even hear about it. People come and talk about it. What must we do at all? Right? But the better thing is not even to listen about it. It's so dirty, it's so filthy. You know, it's so filthy that it's not even right to listen to it. You know, when these type of things like music, etc., shameless immodesty, فإن Allah speaks about the shayateen, يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. This is the thing that shaitan supports, encourages. What? Indecent behavior, wrong, evil. So in this type of places, souk and all these places, you'll find the shaitan, shayateen are all loaded up. Loaded up. And they're denting you. They can see you are at your weakest point. They can see how weak you are. You've dropped your guards. You're in a different mood. You're different altogether. So they're coming from all sides. They're denting you. Now for you to go for a recuperation, you think it's easy. When a person is hurt, right, physically is hurt, you all go and sympathize. Someone is killed, someone is hurt, whatever. You all go and sympathize. But when the person is damaged spiritually, do we ever feel sympathetic towards him? Do we ever think, now, how do we go and save the person before the time? What actions, what things must he put in place that they don't have a repetition of this type of anisha? Do we ever think like this? So, this is what we are going through in the spirit here. And people are doing it at every level. Like someone will go to Dubai for the same experience. And just for a 2-hour experience, he doesn't mind spending per individual 100,000 rands. One individual, just for the Dubai experience, on this occasion here, to go and splash 100,000 rands, there must be a reason why, as I say, Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah said, I make out your income from your expense. Are you spending your money? I made out, alright. How you earn that money? So if that wealth was absolutely halal, pure, clean, then it would be used in clean avenues, good avenues. But it was absolutely haram, it's going to absolutely haram. It was a mixture, a combination of the both, coming right, going off, coming right, going off. It's like a flickering torch, you know, coming right, going off, coming right, or imagine you driving with a flickering light. So you're getting into problem coming up, you're getting into problem coming up. So you're then in a very dangerous position. What is required now is how do we solidify ourselves, strengthen ourselves. Don't go and risk ourselves, don't go and experiment. No matter who is doing what, no matter who is inviting and calling, my iman is too precious, it's too valuable, I can't risk this for anything. Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib Karay.